By God almighty, that man had a family.
Nick, I was kickboxing yesterday, and by God, that man had a family.
Did you kill your friend, Ben?
He did text me that he was dead, but he spelled it D-E-D.
Oh, well, everyone knows that's okay.
So I put the hurting on him, but he lives to fight another day.
How long you been doing that for?
Oh, gosh. We've been kickboxing for 4 years now, maybe? 5 years? Probably 4 years.
So you must be pretty good at it.
I'm fairly decent. I can take a hit. We do full contact, so headgear, mouthpiece, you know, we punch to the head, and I take my licks.
Yeah, I mean, I can street fight, I guess. Well, I haven't in years, but I think I would get my bell rung in an actual, like, regulated event.
Which street fighter do you most identify with?
I was always more of a Mortal Kombat guy. I don't really know.
Oh, well, which Mortal Kombat character do you identify with?
Well, any of them, because all you have to do is keep pushing the slide kick combo and you can beat anyone. Because the recovery animation is slower than the attack animation.
And there you have cheesed it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of cheese, have you watched anything this week?
I did a lot less watching this week than you did, I can tell you that. Because I was mostly playing God of War all week. But I started watching Avatar The Last Airbender because they put the series on Netflix on May 15th.
Is it as good as all my friends say it is?
Yeah, I was hesitant. I wasn't really expecting it much from it going in. I was like, okay, this will be good. I really want to watch Legend of Korra because Janet Varney is Korra. And I was like, all right, I'll watch Avatar. No, it's real good. It's real good.
Okay, well, maybe I'll check it out with the girls.
My favorite thing so far of it is the creature design, because there'll be like random monsters or animals, like wildlife, and the design is really, really interesting. Sometimes it'll be like a couple animals combined, or just like a weird variation on an animal, but there was one creature in season one that's like a tracking beast that this girl who Jennifer Hale, Commander Shepard, was voicing, and she was riding this creature, and it kind of looked like a anteater mixed with like a star-nosed mole, and it was like a tracking beast, and it was one of the coolest monsters that I've seen. But I'm enjoying it so far. I watched almost the whole first season. I have a couple episodes left.
Are you watching it with Jess, or are you just kind of watching it by yourself?
Jess has seen it, but she's watching it with me to refresh her memory of it.
Nice.
Looks like you've been busy, so what did you watch this week?
I watched a lot, so I'll do this kind of rapid fire style. Just had a craving to watch Mad Max Fury Road. That movie might be in my top five, probably definitely top 10. It is
perfect.
That movie is incredible. I kind of forgotten how good it is, and it is so good.
I saw that like 5 times in the theater.
Gosh, it is so good. It holds up so good. It's so good. Anyway, I'm ready for the next one. The next one is going to be it's a prequel, right?
Yeah, about young Furiosa.
Young Furiosa. Can't wait. Want it. I want everything in that world. I want to be back in that world. Then I watched Disney, the first episode of Disney Prop Culture, where they talk about all the props and stuff from Mary Poppins. That show has so much heart on Disney Plus.
Lindsay had messaged me that she was watching the show and she couldn't stand the host.
Oh, I think he's great.
She hated him.
I don't know what there's to hate about him. He's not annoying, I don't feel like. He's not over the top.
She said he put his fingers on the props too much.
And
she had a list of grievances that some sounded like they might be annoying to me. But I haven't seen it, so...
I just want to say there's one part where he visits one of the choreographers from some of the dancing in the movie, this old lady, and it is absolutely precious, and it's so great. Anyway, so definitely recommend that. I can't wait to watch the rest of the episodes. Then I watched, I was donating platelets, and so I watched this Apex, the story of the hypercar. The credits were really short on this, so it didn't take a very big crew to make this, and so it makes me think the barrier to entry to some documentaries is not as big as I thought.
I think, well, especially if with documentaries, if you have the machines available to make it. Pretty much anyone can make it.
Yeah, that's exactly what was my takeaway from this.
It's like that Ken Burns style where you just have the camera moving over old pictures.
Yep, so I watched that. It was just about really expensive cars, like cars that cost like $1 million or more. Then I watched Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian, the second episode of that. A lot of that round table stuff again, not as much backstage footage as I would like. So I think I'm maybe a little disappointed in this Disney Gallery series.
I feel like that was just something they cooked up to have out during the quarantine so people had extra content, and it maybe wasn't planned out from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you watch the Lord of the Rings special, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff, right?
Yeah, it's one of the only things where I cared enough to watch the special features.
Yeah, yeah. So, the stuff, it's incredible. They show you how they make the weapons and everything. Like, it's all that behind-the-scenes stuff, and you don't get a whole lot of that in this series. I watched a bunch of YouTube videos about Dune. I think I'm into Dune.
That's good, because we got the ultimate possible version of Dune coming out.
We absolutely do. And I have checked out where I put a hold on the audiobook for the next book in the series, because I'm going to listen to all the books, I think. And also looked at the casting again, and now that I've finished the first book, the casting for this Villeneuve movie is, guys, it's perfect. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, it is absolutely perfect.
Zendaya is always the perfect choice.
I'm a Zendaya fan, and my kids get mad when I call her Zendaya.
See, I did that originally too.
Oh, did you?
But I've learned. Yeah,
my children get so mad because they know that I know it now, but I'll still say it. They hate that. Okay, last thing I watched was, oh no, two other things. I watched You Versus Wild with Bear Grylls with my 7-year-old. It's that You Choose Your Own Adventure on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's like Bandersnatch, but it's survival stuff with Bear Grylls. It's great. It's for kids, obviously. She loves it. And so watching it with her was a lot of fun because I let her choose.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, she loved it. 7 years old, loves it. Also, I watched Gladiator last night with Aaron. That movie is nearly 20 years old. The special effects, I don't think that I noticed the special effects one time because they were that good.
That's one of the greats.
Gladiator is one of the best movies ever made. I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's one of the best movies that has ever been made.
There was a time when my cousin thought that they were going to build like a theater room when they were building a new house. And so we put a bunch of movies in a vault that we were waiting for the theater room to watch. And one of them was Gladiator. One of them was Braveheart, Master and Commander, movies like that. And then over time we learned that no one would ever be making this room. But I still haven't seen Gladiator since the vault. So it's been probably like 10 years since I've seen it.
I would say go watch it. It holds up really well. We actually had to rent it. It's not streaming on anything, so we had to rent it through Amazon.
Oh, I have it.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know why I don't have it. It's ridiculous that I don't have it. I need to get it on Blu-ray. But absolutely incredible. Holds up so well. And there's also, if you watch it again, in the opening fight between the Germanians and the Romans, there's one shot. It's kind of like on a crane, kind of up, pointing down. And it's like they yelled cut, and they still kept filming. And so it's like this Germanian guy's just kind of standing there looking around, smiling, like not fighting. It's like right in the center of the screen. I was like, oh, so this was, I don't know if this take or this shot was timed correctly. I don't know why it's in the movie. It's funny, though. I never noticed.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I never noticed before. It's like in the Two Towers where that guy tries to shoot the bow and he like messes up on the tower. I don't know if you may have never seen it, but
I know what you're talking about.
I notice it every time. Anyway, okay, so that's everything that I have watched, everything we have watched. Moving on, we actually have news items this week, Nick.
Yeah, there's a couple things in here that I thought it would be good to make known to people. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Tom Hanks movie, the submarine movie Greyhound, because we were both pretty excited about it by the trailer.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because of the coronavirus, it was picked up by Apple Plus.
Ugh. Which means we'll never see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping there's also like a Blu-ray release, but because I'm not gonna get Apple TV.
We're just not gonna get Apple TV Plus. It's just not gonna happen.
I'm not doing that one. I draw the line there.
Apple TV Plus is Fetch, and they need to stop trying to make Fetch happen.
Stop
trying to make Fetch happen.
So, not gonna see that.
Yeah, it's gonna disappear. But one thing I will see, because I have Disney Plus, is Disney bought the rights to the filmed stage adaptation of Hamilton that they did with the original cast. The one that the original cast recording that you can listen to is taken from. And they were gonna release it in theaters in October, this coming October. And I was like, oh, I want to see that. But then this all happened, so now they're just going to put it on Disney Plus in July. So I'll be able to watch that.
And they paid, what, like $75 million for it?
Yeah. Pay up. Pay up, Disney. Make my boy Lin rich.
So, I'm not a fan of Hamilton, but I understand that the phenomenon that it is. Do you think that paying $75 million for this was worth it? Like, they're going to get subscribers from this?
If I didn't have Disney Plus and they put Hamilton on, I would subscribe to it to watch.
Okay.
It.
Okay. That tells me everything I need to know there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, $75 million's nothing to Disney.
That's true. So then I actually added this one. We have a Snyder cut of Justice League coming out.
Justice League is the worst movie I've ever seen that they spent money and time on.
You heard it here, folks. I did not hate this movie, nor did I love this movie. This whole Snyder cut is actually came about because there are fans out there of these properties. Fans clamored for this. They wanted this.
I can't understand the concept of wanting more Zack Snyder involvement in something. Like, he's terrible.
So I liked Man of Steel, as we have discussed before. That is probably the only Zack Snyder film that I like. But I definitely didn't finish Justice League and walked out of the theater going, you know what, it would have been better if we had a longer cut. I needed a longer cut just to really enjoy that. But this is potentially going to be a 4-hour movie cut.
God. I can't stress enough how much I hate the movie Justice League. Like, it was painful for me to watch it. And I'm not a DC guy, but I thought Wonder Woman was good.
I love Wonder Woman.
And Aquaman is fun. I have no problems with Aquaman.
I think I hated Aquaman.
I hate Jason Momoa as Aquaman, the character, but the movie wasn't offensive to me to watch. It was funny because there was like... I mean, it's stupid, but it was funny because every time they started talking, there was like an explosion interruption. So I liked it in the way that I like Riverdale or Mystery Science Theater movies, where they're bad and I enjoy that. But Justice League was so bad and boring and cheesy, and the Flash is the worst character I've ever seen in anything, ever. And I hated it, and I don't understand this. Well, first of all, weren't people mad when they hired Zack Snyder originally to do like Man of Steel and like create these DC things? Like, they were mad because no one likes Zack Snyder. And then it was bad, and I feel like in order to combat the low critical reception, they found a scapegoat in that Zack Snyder hadn't finished directing the movie because that thing happened with his daughter and he had to drop out. He was not fired, like people say. So they had to cobble it together real quick, whatever. But like, Zack Snyder had Final Cut on Batman versus Superman, and that movie's unwatchable.
Yeah, I don't really like any of these. I don't actively hate them, but I don't own them on Blu-ray. I don't desire to see them a second time. I might watch the Snyder Cut of this movie once, just to see it.
I would watch it with a bunch of like-minded individuals who will not watch it as intended. Yes, exactly. And it's not like I'm like just by nature anti-DC, because the Nolan Batman movies are great.
What's your favorite one of the three?
The Dark Knight.
So the other news piece we have is that HBO Max has, I think, on the docket a Dune series called Dune: The Sisterhood.
Yeah, and this is going to tie into the movie universe.
I actually really like this because the Bene Gesserit is a very interesting group of women in this universe. Because Dune takes place like 20,000 years in the future. So humans have evolved where they have control over the cells in their body, kind of a thing. They're not like shape shifting or anything like that, but the Bene Gesserit can like do things that are almost like superhuman. Like they can drink a poison and change the poison in their body to be harmless. They can hear a person speak and find these like frequencies in their way they talk and stuff, and then they can speak in these other frequencies and almost like mind control people. So it's kind of a fascinating take.
That sounds rad.
Yeah, and so they basically have this agenda to essentially control the destiny of humanity in the cosmos. So they're like, it's like just this very interesting premise. And so a show based around this Bene Gesserit, this group of women, very powerful women, I think is a fantastic idea, and I would get HBO Max just to see it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the future of Dune.
I am too. After listening to that first book, I recognize that Dune influences everything. I mean everything, like Star Wars, Star Trek, BattleTech, MechWarrior, you name it. Like, it was influenced by Dune, basically.
I believe you. Yeah, it's a seminal nerd culture thing, and it's sort of a blind spot. I mean, I've seen the David Lynch Dune movie, but David Lynch doesn't really like to talk about that movie because that was like a lot of studio interference, so he didn't have final cut and it wasn't the movie he wanted it to be. And I think it wasn't the right time to make a movie like that. So, but now Denis Villeneuve, probably the best sci-fi director ever. Maybe, I mean, so. Definitely in my opinion. I'm excited about this.
I'm very excited, so totally into it. So some very fun news items here, and maybe a couple not so fun, half and half.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the borrowed questions times. The borrowed questions times, folks. The two questions times this week, we actually have stolt them. We've done stolt them. From other things, Reddit and another podcast, but you picked out the first question, so why don't you run with it there, brother?
This is actually Jay sent me this. He found it while perusing Reddit, and it was from Fozzie Bear the Muppet on Reddit. And Fozzie Bear the Muppet said, if instead of rebooting movies it became a trend to retell them from a different character's perspective, what film would you want to see retold and from whose point of view? And so, like, an example would be, like, Maleficent, the Sleeping Beauty, because that's basically what this is. So I was trying to think of this, and I thought of some things, like, my instinct, my first thought was, I would like to see Carrie Russell's Star Wars character, but I feel like that would be better served as a different movie and not just the other side of Rise of Skywalker. So I changed it because that's not exactly what it wasn't exactly the answer to the question. So then I thought, I want to see, just like either a movie or a short series that does the MCU, but from Chris O'Dowd's character from Thor: The Dark World. You know, the guy from IT Crowd, if you don't know him, who went on a date with Natalie Portman in Thor 2, and because he's a really funny actor. And I would like to see just like a 10-year span of his life while all of like his trying to work at an office and have a normal life while this MCU stuff is happening. And I just think that would be really fun.
That is actually fascinating. It reminds me of that one Avengers comic where it's like these people are walking around in New York City and they see like one of the jets take off from Avengers Tower, and they just can't believe they're seeing it because it happens so rarely, and you have to be the right place at the right time, even if you live in New York City, that you would very rarely see like a jet take off from Avengers Tower. And so they're like, everybody's like on the ground going, oh my gosh, it's one of the Jets, you know, it's the Avengers Jet. So it's like, how would this guy be touched by these events in the MCU? I think that's fascinating. I love that answer.
Even if they treated it like sort of like a Forrest Gump type scenario where he's always in the background and like he has like the worst luck ever and he keeps going to all the places where stuff gets destroyed or whatever.
Oh yeah. That'd be great. That'd make for a great show.
So that's my answer.
That's great. So I said Sauron from The Lord of the Rings.
One ring to rule them all, Ben.
I know it. So I actually think you would probably be better served doing like a life history of Sauron. So start off in the First Age, or even start off with the creation of the world with Iluvatar and the Valar, and then just kind of his experience up until the Third Age with the War of the Ring and that sort of thing. I just think it'd be a lot of fun see his from his perspective.
It'd be like a Lord of the Rings Paradise Lost.
Yeah, kind of would. I'm just trying to think who could play Sauron. Like, it'd be a British person. Maybe like a Ray Fiennes.
Jason Isaacs.
Oh, Jason Isaacs, yes. Oh, man, we should cast this thing. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I love Lord of the Rings, man.
Me too.
I've watched the first disc of the extended edition with my girls, and they're like, on their computers or on their like little phone and playing around, and like eventually they kind of put those away. They're like, I want to watch this. I was like, yes, victory. So
that was like, I feel exactly the opposite about Lord of the Rings than I do about Justice League. It inspires the exact opposite feeling inside of me, where it's one of pure love.
It has aged very well, actually. Like, when you go back and watch it, like, it's incredible. There's one shot, and you probably remember this, where Isildur is holding the giant version of the ring and it shrinks in his fingers. How did they do that?
I always think that because it shrinks to fit his hand because it was on Sauron's finger first.
Yeah.
And he turns it in his hand, but as he turns it, it shrinks to man size.
It's one of the most incredible visual effect shots I think I've ever seen.
Corridor Digital did a VFX artist react specifically to Lord of the Rings, and Nico had a lot of like really good insightful comments like he always does. I don't remember if they addressed that one specifically, but if you like that, I could find that and link it to you, or I might have done that already, but it's a good one.
Man, I if you find something, I saw it and I just was turning it over in my mind. I just don't know how they did it. It looks so good. All right, so that is our answers for the first question, but you can write into us and answer that if you have a good answer for it. If you have a bad answer, don't even bother writing in, folks. Just keep it to your dumb self.
Our second question you got from another podcast, so why don't you tell us about that one?
Yeah, so one of my favorite podcasts, the Past Gas Podcast by Donut Media, a bunch of silly jokesters that talk about cars. This was just kind of like a random thing. They were just like, oh, they're talking about something. They're like, if you were a Ben and Jerry's flavor, what would you be? So we're talking about an ice cream flavor. So Nick, if you were a Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor, what would you be?
So I had to actually pull up a list and go through them because I tend to, I'm sort of a snob with ice cream and I only like frozen custard because I'm from Wisconsin. And I don't actually ever eat regular ice cream. But I had to look, and there's one called Coffee Coffee Buzz Buzz Buzz, and I was like, oh, that's it. That's me.
That's it. And you love coffee, right?
I do. I spent most of the weekend making cold brew, and I really, really would love to have a fancy espresso machine, but I haven't lucked out and found one from an old German man on Facebook Marketplace.
You remember how I got mine?
Well, it's one of my favorite things ever.
$10.
That's insane.
Yep. Gosh, I love coffee.
I love coffee.
We're gonna have a special edition podcast where all we do is talk about coffee.
Mm-hmm. Got Valentine up here in Milwaukee making that cold brew out of that Bali from Valentine.
That cold brew out of that Bali. What would we call our coffee podcast? Brew Boys.
Caffeine Crew.
The Beanie Boys.
Cold Brew Kids.
The Cold Brew Kids.
It's like Cold War Kids, the indie band.
The Cuckoo for Cold Brews.
French Press...
Fanatics.
Fanatics.
French Press Fanatics. We're really good at coming up with at podcast names. I mean, honestly.
Our improv skills can't be beat.
Except for maybe Schwartz.
Middle Ditch and Schwartz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I chose a coffee flavor. I chose a flavor that does not exist in the Ben and Jerry's lineup. Tamarind.
Hmm.
Tamarind. Coming at you.
What's this?
I'm coming at you from a different angle, Nick. Are you familiar with the tamarind?
I'm not. Enlighten me.
Tamarind is a delicious flavor that Americans really haven't grasped onto. Now, if you're a Mexican and you're listening to this, then you know the joy of tamarind and the deliciousness that it is. It is a tart, almost sour, it's a fruit. I don't know. It looks like it comes in a bean pod, but it's like a fruity thing, and it's got a giant seed in it. Seeds in it. Anyway, it's delicious. It is a wonderful thing, and it's used in Thai cooking as well.
Oh, I love Thai food.
Yeah, so it's a really beautiful thing, and you know, I just think like I have very diverse interests, and I like a lot of things that you know are a little off the beaten path, perhaps. And tamarind, for an American at least, tamarind is one of those things. So that's why I chose that.
Yeah, Americans tend to. Not good enough flavor, so.
No, just vanilla for me.
Yeah, vanilla. Ugh, come on.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love like a real Madagascar vanilla bean ice cream.
Yeah, but by itself, you gotta have pie or something if you're gonna have vanilla ice cream.
Do you have a favorite pie?
I like.
Hey, knock it off! I'm recording in here. Y'all keep it down
to 16.
Keep it down.
Turn that volume down to 16.
Y'all turn that volume down to 16. Right now.
I like banana cream pie a lot.
I love bananas. And I like banana anything. I don't know that there's anything banana I don't like.
Yeah, me too. Banana's a good one.
Even
I don't like the fake banana flavor, but I like the real banana.
Back in the day, I used to eat Laffy Taffy. No. Yeah, Laffy Taffy. They had banana Laffy Taffy. Totally fake, but I used to love it.
Hmm.
And Runts. Banana Runts.
I actually have no problem with the flavor of that. It's just, it doesn't taste at all like banana to me.
Oh, it tastes nothing like banana. Absolutely nothing. Well, folks, what Ben and Jerry's flavor, either real or made up, would you be? Write us. Tell us. Unless your answer, again, is dumb, and in which case you should keep it to yourself.
What was the one from Avengers? A Hulka Hulka Burning Fudge?
Yeah, that's the one that Wong likes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that brings us to the
new
trailers, folks. We have, how many do we have here, Nick?
11.
We have 11 trailers for you. Are any of these good? I'm just looking over them now.
There's a couple of these that I will watch. There's one that is really stupid, but I'm really excited about it. We're starting to get trailers again with real actors in them. So I'm hoping that we're sort of maybe gonna rise up out of the ashes and get some movies soon.
Yeah, hopefully so. I think theaters might be on the cusp of opening back up. We'll see. I see now that one of these I'm very excited about. You will not be excited about it, but we'll talk about that.
I'll still watch it.
Yeah. The first one is actually a pretty fun one to talk about. Something called Force of Nature.
Yeah, so this is a Mel Gibson movie that also has Emile Hirsch and Kate Bosworth in it. I'm pretty over Mel Gibson. I mean, I love Braveheart, but he's kind of a scumbag, and I can't really get past that looking at his face. But, like, I don't know. I don't know about this movie.
I don't necessarily have a problem with Mel Gibson, but I don't have any desire. Like, I'm not going to see a movie because he's in it. I'm not going to necessarily not see a movie because he's in it, but definitely not going to see this one.
Yeah, I don't want to watch this. I don't like Mel Gibson. I think he's this dirtbag and racist scumbag. And I still like Braveheart, but like, I don't know. I just hate him.
No scumbags.
He's a scumbag.
Nick says no scumbags.
Scumbags.
Well, this trailer is about... the synopsis of this movie is ridiculous. It's like people are trying to escape from a apartment building because of a storm, and thieves show up.
Yeah, this looks like that Maggie Grace movie, The Hurricane Heist.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody mentioned that in the comments on YouTube. I do want to say that a lot of people in the comments were saying that the thumbnail for this on YouTube looked like it was Sean Connery.
I can totally see that now that you say that.
Yeah, I can too. It's so, like, everybody was kind of confused. So the best comment was this guy named GG Muscle 18. And the quote was, "Never underestimate the weather," said by Sean Gibson Connery.
See, now, if it was Sean Connery, I'd be more excited about the movie.
I think Sean Connery's like fully retired, right?
Yeah, he said if he would have come back for anything, it would have been that Indiana Jones movie, but they couldn't even get him to for that.
Yeah. So this this movie, a lot of there's some stormtrooper level shooting in this movie, like people with completely open shots with like rifles, and they're just missing with automatic rifles.
It looks like just like a really dumb action movie.
Looks like something that would come on Sci-Fi Channel at like 10 o'clock at night.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah. This is straight to DVD, by the way.
I feel like Mel Gibson has earned his place in these movies. Like, this is where he belongs now.
To me, if I was Mel Gibson, I honestly have no idea what it's like to be Mel Gibson, but I would have retired maybe like 10 years ago before that Apocalypto movie. I would have just retired with all that money and just like travel the world and just live that life.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep making movies.
Instead, he gets drunk and goes on anti-Semitic rants that are filmed by people.
Not a good look, Nick. Not a good look.
Not where you want to go. But yeah, so no thanks, Mel Gibson. I'm done with you. Braveheart is great. You're done.
We're done here. Next up, we have Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
So this is the most excited I am for anything on this list, because this is like my exact sense of humor. We have Will Ferrell in some sort of weird Viking Highlander. He looks like in Highlander at the beginning what Christopher Lambert is dressed like. And Rachel McAdams is there, and it looks like an 80s movie musical about some sort of like fire saga Viking thing, and it looks really stupid and fun. So I'm excited about this.
If you have ever seen these Scandinavian music videos on YouTube, they nail it. I mean, it is 100% accurate, is it not?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. And Will Ferrell.
It's unreal.
Will Ferrell, he likes to sing, so he sings in almost all of his movies. So this totally makes sense that he would be doing this.
I think I forever have a crush on Rachel McAdams, and my first thought was like, why isn't Rachel McAdams in a Marvel movie? And then I forgot she is. You had to remind me.
Yeah, I put the note in here. She's in Doctor Strange.
She's in Doctor Strange. So I almost think she was wasted in that. She should have been like a Marvel hero. I love Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams is good. She's in The Notebook. I love The Notebook. She was good in Wedding Crashers.
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. Oh, yeah. How could I not say Mean Girls? She's great. I like her.
She's great. So this, it looks like they filmed this in Iceland, right?
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. Best comment on this one was from Babadoo. Or no, Boobadoo.
Boobadoo.
This person said, "Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to be so stoned for this one." I don't even know what that means. I just like the comment.
He's gonna eat some edibles and go see this one.
You know, I'm not hating on that idea. So then next up we have The Last Days of American Crime.
This is one of those, there's so many of these kind of movies. So it's like, yes, a punch press action movie, but there's one little sci-fi element that makes it a little weird. And if you've ever seen either the movie or the trailer for the Justin Timberlake movie with the time, where they have the time that they have left to live on their arm.
In Time? Is it called In Time?
Yeah. This is that. Only it's a different concept. This movie, something to do, but also it has something to do with like the signal that they blare, and it makes you have to stop doing crime or whatever.
Stop doing crime.
That's literally what they say in the trailer. They're like, the signal makes you stop doing things that are illegal. I think it must just stop you from doing anything, but that's the way they phrased it in the trailer was really funny.
Yeah, it's like they show this bank heist that's happening, and they start playing this tone, and these guys are like, they just kind of stop in their tracks, and they stop the robbery.
Uh-huh.
Stop doing it. Stop doing crime.
The last days of American crime.
There's a comment in here by some guy named Kevin Fuentes, and this guy was absolutely right. He said, is it just me, or are all these action rock... like, all these songs sound the same. That is definitely a trend in trailers right now.
Yes, it is. I think it's cued into the genre as well, because all of these action movies are very similar lately.
Yeah, it's just funny to see these trailer trends. Next up, we have Brave New World, based on the Aldous Huxley book, which we all read in high school.
I didn't read this, and I didn't know it was a book. So when you wrote your comment about the book, I didn't even. Know that it was one. This is a Peacock original, which I wouldn't get Peacock except the Adventure Zone, the McElroy Brothers podcast, is being done in an animated series on Peacock, and I have to see that in order to live, so I will have Peacock for some period of time.
Enough for you to watch that series.
Yeah, for that series. This one, I don't know, I thought the trailer looked interesting, but I don't know, what's the deal with the book?
So this book was written in the earlier part of the 20th century by Aldous Huxley. It was ahead of its time, I think. It was a futuristic book. I actually hated the book. It put some like ideas in my head that I didn't like. Not about like political ideas or something like that. Just kind of like fantasy ideas that I was not comfortable with at the time. So I didn't like the book. But this show doesn't look like it follows the book really at all. Like, it's very loosely based on the book.
So maybe they've updated it?
Maybe so. A lot of people were saying, like, oh, just another, like, PC adaptation of a book, and they're taking all the controversial stuff out. Like, I don't get that vibe necessarily. I don't know what they're wanting. But I don't know that I'm super interested in this.
I'm not super interested, but, like, I like sci-fi enough where... I'll usually try and check out sci-fi stuff to just basically support it so they make more. But, like, if I have Peacock and it's on there, I might check it out.
I mean, I think it's probably going to be somewhat decent. You got the guy that played Solo.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how the Peacock does.
We'll see. Suppose.
We'll see. Next up, we have Gundala.
Yeah, so this is a Bollywood superhero movie.
Oh, I thought this was Indonesian.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's Indonesian.
Oh, okay. I thought Gundala sounded Indian.
This is probably, I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing this is made by some of the same people that brought you, oh gosh, is it The Raid?
Oh, I love The Raid.
Yeah, I think it's mostly, if I had to guess, I could be very wrong, but I think it's made by some people that had hands in The Raid also had hands in this.
The action scenes will be insane, I'm sure.
Some people liken this to Black Lightning.
I don't know what that is.
I think it's a CW show.
Oh, well, if it's like a CW show, the action scenes probably won't be that great. But if it's by anyone, The Raid is really good. Like, everyone keeps trying to be The Raid nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I would have never thought, if you would have told me like maybe like 10, 15 years ago, like, hey man, Indonesia is going to make a movie, like an action movie, and people are going to try to be that.
Yeah. Cause like
I'd be like, what?
The Dread, that's definitely influenced by The Raid. I think Matt Reeves' Batman movie that he's working now, he said was going to be sort of like The Raid.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. People keep saying it, and you know, The Raid is cool, so I'm not going to complain about that.
No, for sure not. The best comment I found on this one was somebody called VN, and their comment was just Power Ranger? Question mark.
He looks more like Kamen Rider.
He does kind of look like Kamen Rider.
He's got like the antlers, or like Beetle from Spider-Man.
Yeah. I don't know. I might check this out. I don't even know what this is coming out on.
That I didn't see that. Probably the first time I'll interact with this is I'm sure they'll do a Stuntman Reacts on Corridor Digital, where they go through the stunts of it, because they always do that for these intense action movies like this.
Yeah, I would have thought that most of these stunts would have come out of Thailand with Tony Jaa stuff, but it seems to have shifted to Indonesia at this point. All right, so next up we have Antebellum, the second trailer.
Yeah, so we, in a previous episode, we had discussed the teaser trailer for Antebellum, and we had we thought there was like a weird sci-fi vibe because there was it looked like the old Antebellum South, but there was like modern planes and stuff, and we were a little confused, and we didn't really get a good sense of the plot.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, when a full trailer comes out, we'll have a better idea of what the movie's about. And here's the full trailer, and I am even less certain than I was from the teaser.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is about. And even the best comment that I found was Beryl Mendez. What is the movie about? It was like at the top.
Yeah, I have
I don't even know.
I mean, Janelle Monáe is a good actor, but... that's not enough. You know, I don't know what this is.
Listen, man, back in the day, the Jurassic Park trailer didn't show you the dinosaurs, but you knew what that movie was about. Okay, you didn't know the story, but you knew what that movie was about. This movie, you can say, well, okay, it's a movie about slavery, but it ain't just about that. There's modern day stuff in this. What is this movie about?
Yeah, and there was definitely some sci-fi element in it, but I have no sense of what it was, so I don't know what genre the movie is, so I don't know if I'm into it.
Yeah, I mean, we can't tell you. Maybe you can go watch it and tell us what you're in. Like, what is your interpretation?
Yeah, let us know, because all we do is watch movie trailers and then talk about them. We should be able to decipher what's happening in them.
Yeah, I feel like I have like a fairly decent idea of what a good trailer is, even at a base level. Like, does this make me want to see the movie? Like you can boil it down to just that. Does this make me want to spend 2 hours of my time watching this?
Yeah, I don't know. Not from this.
No, for sure not. So, bye. Okay. Next up, we have The Old Guard. This is a Red Band trailer for a Netflix show.
Is it a show or a movie?
I said show, but then I immediately second-guessed myself.
I thought it was a movie. The
it
cast,
probably is a movie.
The cast, to me, because it's Charlize Theron and Chiwetel Ejiofor, and I think I saw... what's that guy? Tim Roth from Tarantino movies. So that's like a bigger cast.
Yeah, I don't think Sharon would probably do a TV show.
No. I was going to say, this looks like a video game where people get killed and come back to life on the battlefield, but the people are like surprised when it happens. So I don't know. I think they're like immortal, like hit squad or something.
They're like a team of Deadpools.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically like X-Force.
So they heal really fast. You can't kill them. They're immortal. Yeah, it's like a mix of like Call of Duty and that Will Smith movie.
Hancock. Which also had Charlize Theron in it.
Oh, that's right. Huh? Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, this... I will probably end up watching this. And then if you... So, this is a... Netflix put this trailer out. And, like, nearly every third comment on this was, like, some version of COVID or the government says you can't go outside. And then Netflix responds with, hold my something or other. You know, like, hold my movie or hold my TV series or whatever it was. I was just like, guys, is this all you can conjure, Saruman?
Is this all you can conjure, Saruman?
Why would that be a thing? Like, why would you comment that on YouTube?
I don't know, but it was like everybody was making the same comment, some different version of the same comment. I guess trying to be witty or something, but it was just all...
I mean, first of all, picture your life if you're on YouTube and you go down and you have to make a comment. And then you start engaging with the comment section of YouTube. Like, that's sad to me.
It's really sad. I think probably Facebook is the cesspool, and then YouTube comments are like just a wasteland of sadness.
And then Twitter is the ninth circle.
Oh, absolutely the ninth circle. You got that right. The Old Guard. So this is... I'll probably watch this.
I'll watch it if you tell me it's good.
Okay. I'll check it out for us. Then next up we have The Outpost.
Yeah, this is Orlando Bloom with an accent that I thought was Boston at first, and then maybe the South. And then I was like, is it Maine?
I think it might be closer to Maine than anything. if this is an attempt at a Southern accent, I will go ahead and say, Nick, this is the worst attempt I've ever heard.
I'm pretty sure it was an East Coast accent.
Yeah,
because I the think other guys were doing East Coast accents too. But I will say that Orlando Bloom's accent was better than that other guy's accent. The guy that there was a guy in it I didn't know, and he said something that was in like a Boston accent that you would do on SNL if you were doing a Boston accent.
Was Orlando Bloom in Black Hawk Down?
Yes, he was.
Interesting that he is interested. I find it interesting that he is interested in this type of movie.
Beige Army movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, I'm trying to record. Keep it down.
I'm going to start getting a switch out. I'm going to go find a switch.
Cut me
I'm going to go find a switch.
So if you want to do a proper Southern accent, that's how you do it, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on the kind of Southern accent you want to do. Do you want to be kind of twangy, or do you want to be a little bit more drawl, or, you know, it just depends.
So I was listening to the Scrubs podcast, and they have a caller each week that they pick from, like, people who email in questions, and then they let them Skype call into the show or Zoom or whatever. And the people that were in last week's episode, or no, this week Tuesday's episode, were from Birmingham. And they don't sound at all like you. They were way more, like, movie Southerner. And I started to think, maybe you don't actually live in Alabama.
I do live in Alabama. Alabama's funny, or Birmingham is funny. And it's interesting, when you live somewhere, you can pick up on sort of micro inflections or like micro accents. And so it's interesting because, you know, I used to drive Uber and Lyft on Friday nights, and a lot of times we'd have like guys from the University of Alabama come up here. And I could almost hear a distinct accent unique to the University of Alabama, to Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Huh.
These guys would say words that I would never hear anybody else say in that way, but it was always dudes from Alabama. And so Birmingham is kind of the same. Like, it's a mix of a neutral American accent mixed with Southern. So I have pretty good... what?
I was going to say, these people on the podcast sounded like June Carter.
I don't know June Carter.
Oh, she was Johnny Cash's wife. She was Reese Witherspoon in Walk the Line.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it just depends. I mean, Birmingham's a mix. Like, there's even some people that have, like, the old antebellum South. Like, they're going to go down there. And, like my like grandmother Craig. From Selma. Yeah. If you're from Selma and you have that old, like, you grew up on a plantation, you know. There are still some people that actually have that accent.
The Foghorn Leghorn accent.
Yeah, they're a little bit older. Like, there's probably no one under the age of 40 with that accent, but it still exists.
Have you seen Knives Out yet?
I've still not seen it.
Okay, Daniel Craig does that accent in that movie, and you can tell he's just having fun with it. Like, my name is Benoit Blanc.
I gotta see this movie.
It's great. So we got off on a tangent, but it was fun.
It was. But at any rate, Orlando Bloom's accent, real bad. Go listen to it, and you can experience it for yourself.
Yep.
This is... I don't know that I'll see this. Maybe. Who knows?
And, not for me.
Probably not. Next up, we have Relic.
Yeah, this is basically, I feel like, a knockoff of the movie Hereditary from the trailer. They were like, ooh, I want to... And they even mentioned in the trailer, like, five times. They were like, it's just like Hereditary. Like, we promise.
Yeah, even at the very end, it's like, Hereditary? Like, just real quick, it was like, Hereditary?
You like that one, right? Now look at this one.
More of the same. You want more of the same, right?
Yeah, I prefer The Relic, the Stan Winston monster movie. Do you remember
that? Is that from 1997?
Yeah.
People in the comments were mentioning that. They're like, they were saying the same thing. I prefer the 1997 The Relic.
Yeah, that was great. It was like the monster in the museum, and it would mutate. Oh, yeah. Stan Winston effects. That was a good one.
Hey, man, don't forget about Stan Winston.
I'm not going to. I bring up Stan Winston all the time.
I celebrate the man's career.
I celebrate the man's entire career. Predator. I think he did RoboCop.
RoboCop.
Yeah. He's one of the greats.
Stan Winston Studios, man. Don't trip. Do you like old ladies in nasty old houses, real dark? This movie's for you.
That's the best summary of this trailer of all time. So if you're thinking about going to watch this, you've seen it. Ben just explained it perfectly.
There you go. All right, so this next trailer is the one that I'm super excited about, and it is the second trailer for the movie Tenet.
Yeah, this is a Christopher Nolan movie about rewinding time and hijinks that ensue from that.
Yeah. So I don't know much about this. It's kind of tough. I mean, this is like any trailer for a Christopher Nolan movie, just about. And I think the commenter Saja K said it best. Other Hollywood trailers are like, here's the entire story. Christopher Nolan's movie trailer is like, here's the entire story, but don't worry, you won't understand it a bit.
I've said before on this that I'm not a big Christopher Nolan fan, and it's not that I think he's a bad filmmaker, because that's insane, he's not. It's more that it annoys me that everyone thinks his movies are so deep, but they're not. Like, Inception's a very straightforward action movie. It's just weird. So everyone thinks it's smarter than it is. Like, it was driving me crazy when that movie came out, and everyone was like, oh, it blows your mind. No, it doesn't. A man falls asleep on the plane. They're trying to make him have an idea, so they're in his head, and they go through, like, these different levels of dreaming. It's very, very straightforward. And then it has an ambiguous ending with a top.
Oh, it's so good, though, Nick. It's so good.
It's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. But, like, come on, let's not pretend it's some sort of masterwork of mind-bending genius. It's just an action movie that's good.
Well, I will say that about as much information as you had in Inception watching those trailers is about what you get with this one. So you don't know all the ins and outs and the rules associated with it. So I can't wait to see this. Looks a lot of fun.
I like that we're going to turn Robert Pattinson into, like, an actor who gets to build his own image and not define him by Twilight, because I think he's great.
I have never seen him in anything.
The Lighthouse... Well, yeah, you've seen the Harry Potter movies. He's Cedric Diggory.
He's Cedric Diggory.
Yeah, so you've seen that. But he's so good in The Lighthouse that he deserves to have the chance to do whatever he wants. Like, I think he's real good.
Even though I have not seen him in much, I think I would take Robert Pattinson over Harry Potter. What's his name?
Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, Robert Pattinson's good. I mean, Twilight's bad, but that's not his fault. And if I was an actor and I got the chance to be in a giant franchise that was going to make $1 billion like Twilight, I would 100% be in it too. But yeah, and this movie, it looks like something to do with rewinding time and so I'm sure it's gonna maybe start at the end and work backwards or something, like Memento, or I don't know. In the grand scheme of Chris Nolan movies, I mostly like The Prestige and The Dark Knight, so if it's like those, I'll be happy.
Next up, we have The Alienist 2.
Yeah, this is a TV season on TNT, but the main thing is that main reason I put this on here is that last week, on this very podcast, I was trying to think of a TV show that Dakota Fanning was in about old-timey detectives, and I couldn't think of what they were called, and it's this. This is it. It was The Alienist. That was the one I was trying to think of last week. The one with Daniel Brühl and Luke Evans and Dakota Fanning. And then within days, a season 2 trailer comes out. That's hilarious to me.
Nick, I expect you can tell the future.
Yeah, well, I was just happy that I saw it and remembered that old-timey detectives were called Alienists.
I was not familiar with this series before this trailer, but I gotta say, the budget for this looks huge. This looks really good.
I didn't see the whole thing because when the first season came out, I was at my house briefly while I was moving here from Illinois, and I didn't have my current house yet. And my mom and dad were watching it, and the first episode was really good, but they were watching it on their old LCD TV where half the screen was dead, and it was so dark I couldn't see anything. And I was like, this seems like it's good. And if I watch it, I want to actually be able to see it. So I stopped watching it, but it was good. So if they're making another one, I should find if this is streaming somewhere, because season one seemed like it was good.
Yeah, I would definitely need to see season one if I were to watch this, but I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to have, let's see, I may have still have Hulu. I don't know. We borrow Hulu login, so I imagine you can probably watch this on Hulu.
Yeah, probably. I haven't looked.
Yeah. That does it for all the new-new.
New-new.
Yeah, so we had some good ones. I'm pretty sure that Tenet and Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga, I will definitely watch those two. And I might watch The Old Guard, which is more than it has been the last couple episodes of ones that I was actually going to watch.
That's actually saying a good bit right there. Yeah.
And, like, I'm not, like, everyone, I'm not a big Nolan fan, but I'm not anti-Nolan, and Tenet looks like it's going to be pretty good, I think.
We probably should tell the folks how they can get in touch with us.
Yeah, if you want to email us, you can email us at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at trailerblazerspodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at @trailer_blazers. And speaking of emailing us, we got an email from Kevin, and it has some clickbait titles, and we're going to play a special Trailer Mailers edition of You Won't Believe This called You Won't Believe This Email. And
nice!
He grayed out the answers, so I don't know the answers either, so we're both going to be able to play this right now. He sent 5 of them, and we're going to work as a team to guess Kevin's answers.
Okay.
All right. So, number one. After a touchy court case, you won't believe the lengths this man will go to avoid foreclosure on his home and achieving his lofty goals. Now, knowing Kevin, it's probably not a court movie. Won't believe the lengths this man will go to avoid... What's a movie where someone's house is going to be foreclosed?
That's exactly what I'm trying to figure out.
Achieving his lofty goals. Up! Up! Up!
That's it. It's up.
Let's see. It is up. I highlighted
it.
You put them in gray, and if you highlight them, it reveals the answer.
That is perfect.
Okay, so we're 1-for-1 so far.
Excellent. We're attacking this.
Okay, number 2. Science is in. This man's breakthrough beauty discovery has the world abuzz and is sure to be the new gold standard on that new summer look. He capitalized gold. The science is in. This man's breakthrough beauty discovery has the word world abuzz and is sure to be the new gold standard on that summer look.
I don't think this is Death Becomes Her.
No, I think, let's see, science, man's breakthrough, abuzz, that's a weird word choice.
What's the movie with Hugh Jackman where he's in the orb flying with the tree?
The Fountain.
The Fountain. Could it be The Fountain? That had gold as like the aesthetic, like the color gradient.
Maybe. But what is the breakthrough beauty? World of Buzz. What is... my guess is... Okay. My guess is the 1987 Jeff Goldblum movie The Fly.
That's probably a better guess.
All right. Shall I highlight it?
Yeah, go ahead and highlight it.
It is The Fly. Nailed it.
Dude, you are 2-for-2. Dang.
I'm a dumb dude, though, so I'm going to run out of steam here. I'm sure I'll... All right. This exotic movie star climbed to new heights from out of nowhere. The hair-raising tale of how he looked to topple an empire will leave you roaring for more. Oh, what is this now? This exotic movie star climbed to new heights from out of nowhere.
I think... Exotic climbing out of nowhere. Is it like
hair raising?
Jungle Book or Tarzan, I should say. Tarzan.
Was he a movie star? No, he was like a lord, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Climbing movie star. It's not King Kong, is it?
Oh, that's a real good one. Let's 'cause the Empire State Building, I bet you that's it. Let's see.
All right, King Kong.
King Kong. Dude, good. Good.
Nice,
one.
Got it.
Alright, so we're 3-for-3. 2 more.
Okay.
Something for the whole family. This video of a boy reuniting with his estranged father after being worlds apart for decades will break your heart. Video of a boy reuniting with his estranged...
Worlds apart.
Maybe Guardians 2?
Oh, it's gotta be that. It's gotta be that.
Should I highlight it?
Highlight it. I think that's it.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh gosh, we're crushing this.
4 for 4, we got 1 left. Alright. What a glow up. This one man's 5-day plan is sure to turn heads and win the day for you and your circle of friends.
Okay, 5-day plan. There's something there with the 5 days.
And a glow up.
What takes 5 days?
5 days and there's a circle of friends involved.
5 days.
There's nothing capitalized in this one.
Read it one more time.
What a glow up. This one man's 5-day plan is sure to turn heads and win the day for you and your circle of friends.
Win the day, 5 days. This is the toughest one, I feel like.
Yeah, save the hardest one for last.
Yeah, that's good. Well done, Kevin. 5-day. I can't think of any movie where 5 days is tantamount to the overall story.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I'm hung up on the glow up and the circle of friends.
Five days. Glow up. I'm gonna end up cutting a lot of these silences out, but I'll just go ahead and tell you guys. Nick and I are just sitting here in silence.
Yeah, we're stumped here. Should we throw in the towel?
No, I mean, I really am stumped though. I mean, I almost want to say, yeah, throw it in the towel.
Maybe we should come up with at least a guess before.
Yeah.
5-day plan. Sure to turn heads and win the day for you and your circle of friends.
Turn heads. What's the movie with Will Smith in the city with the vampires?
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend. Is that Cure? That didn't take 5 days or something like that, no, did it? Or
I don't think so. I'll give us a hint in that this one has the longest grayed out title of any of them so far, so it's longer than Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, the title.
Oh my gosh. What a glow up. 5 days. I don't know. I'm stoked.
All right. We're throwing in the towel here. You beat us, Kevin. And the answer is The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Gandalf, look on the 5th day, look to the east.
Oh my gosh, Gandalf us. The White.
Yeah, and the, that is such a good one, and we're so dumb.
Oh my gosh, on the 5th day.
At first light on the 5th day.
Jeez Louise, one of our favorites too.
Wow, that one was well too done. Good.
We were getting proud there, and you brought us back down to the dumb dude status.
Yep. So overall, we score 80%. 80% success. 80%. On this one.
All right.
Well, thanks, Kevin. We sure do appreciate that little bit of fun. Those were some good answers. They were better than any that I've ever come up with myself. And if you guys feel so inclined, if you had fun listening to those, you can go on to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. And if you haven't been stumped and you're able to do that, Quick Mickey will tell you what happens when you leave us a good rating.
Well, there's many things that can happen, and if you're familiar with many worlds theory, any number of things can happen if you leave a 5-star rating. And let's just hypothetically say you do that, you go on there and you leave us a 5-star rating, and that helps us. Thank you so much. And if you do that, you might find yourself inexplicably on horseback, okay? And you're riding into a very important meeting, okay? And when you get there, you want to make sure that the sun is to your back, and it's breaking over like a hill or a mountain that you're on. And when people look up and see you, you're gonna make sure you have a staff in your hand and you're wearing all white. And hopefully you will have been growing your hair out until that point. And you're going to raise your staff up, and you're going to let a light beam hit a crystal on the top of that staff. and everybody's gonna see it. And they're gonna get hopeful about the meeting that they are in, okay? At that point, you're gonna turn the tide, okay? And then you go to the government office and legally change your name to Gandalf the White. And that's a true story.
Inexplicably on horseback got me. Well, that does it for the three quarters portion of the show, the regular portion of the show. For Trailer Blazers, I am Nick, and I am the Snyder Cut of my own life. Happy trailers.
And I've been known the winner of the Eurovision Song Contest. Happy trailers. And welcome back, folks. You stuck around here for the video games.
Video games.
One quarter portion of the show where we talk about the video games, the video games.
I'm excited to get into the video games section this week.
Yeah, there's some stuff that you like in here, man. We got a Mafia 1 remake coming out.
Yeah, so you might have been listening to this podcast and thinking that Nick has been very negative so far, but that's because I've been assailed with Snyder cuts and having to talk about Batman versus Superman, and like half these trailers didn't make any sense to me, and one of them was The Relic, but it wasn't the 1997 one. But I assure you, I'm very happy, and the reason is because they're remaking Mafia 1. That is one of my top five favorite games of all time. I have probably spent close to 1 trillion hours replaying it and just playing in the sandbox mode. There's other Mafia games, Mafia 2, and then I think Mafia 3 they made a couple years ago, and they weren't anywhere close. Like, I played both of them. Didn't live up. I couldn't even finish them. Mafia 1 is like the best. It's the best Mafia movie. It's the best, like, Mafia story.
It's superb.
Yeah, it's pure. It's, like, what I wanted a Mafia story to be. It has all the elements from the movies that I like. It has all, like, the story elements. Characters are all good. I remember all their names. This game is from, like, 2000... Let me look when Mafia 1 came out.
I'm gonna say 2001.
Okay, release date was 2002.
2002. Okay.
Yeah. So, Mafia came out in 2002. That's 18 years ago. This is like an action, like, third-person shooter. And for me to remember all the side characters' names in the game, that tells you how much I liked it. Because I don't remember people's names in the video games that I'm currently playing. But Mafia 1, it had some of the best driving mechanics in it. Like, I got really good at driving the cars. And there's one level where you have to chase a guy, but you're not supposed to beat him. He's supposed to get to the shipyard before you, because then you have to follow him into the shipyard. But I was so good at driving in the game that I got ahead of him, and I pinned him between a light post and a building, and the game didn't know what to do. So, like, it was just, like, spinning the tires, and I was, like, shooting into it, and they weren't dying, and I was like, maybe I'm not supposed to be this good. So, and then there's a sandbox mode, where you can unlock these old classic cars, but also these made-up cars. So there's one car, like, that's called the Crazy Horse, and it's really hard to control, but it's super fast, and it'll do crazy things, and it bounces around when you hit stuff. And if you would go into sandbox mode, you could restart whenever you wanted, and one of the places you restarted, you'd turn a corner, and there'd be a drawbridge, and half the time it was, like, raising, so you could hit this ramp, the drawbridge ramp, and launch your car across the entire sandbox map. And if you had one of the cars, like the Crazy Horse, or this car that we called the Alien Car, you could get going really fast, and you could launch yourself off the map and, like, into space. And it was just so good. It was such a good game. And I love every single bit of it. And they're remastering and remaking Mafia 1. And the graphics look insane. It's one of my favorite games ever made, and I'm really happy about this. I did not expect them to remake Mafia 1 at all.
The year is 2064. Nick is receiving his Lifetime Achievement Award, and they're doing a quick review of his achievements. And they, as they look back, they say, "Well, Nick, we found that you were the best driver in the Mafia 1 video game released in 2002. Really impressive work, even flying off the map. Really commendable."
And then after that it says, "And you were also really good at the swoop bike level in Shadows of the Empire."
So good, in fact, that he could beat the computer to the destination.
I could, because I could kill all the swoop gang before they got out of Mos Eisley.
And that's saying something, folks. It's weird when the stars align and you find that you're really good at this one particular thing that really has no value.
Oh, heck.
You have other strengths, my friend. You have other strengths. But those particular strengths are not going to net you any money or fame, unfortunately.
That's true, but they are going to net me a bunch of more hours of enjoyment when Mafia 1 Remake comes out and I can relive 2002.
You'll garner the respect of your Mafia-playing peers.
Yeah. As far as the current video game landscape, I'm in a race to complete God of War before June 19th when The Last of Us 2 comes out. And I was playing God of War, and I got to Alfheim, and I didn't like it. It was really boring, and I was like, I don't know if I like this game. And then I left Alfheim, and I'm into it again. I was like, oh, as soon as I got out of there, I was like, okay, it's picking back up. I like it again.
I'm still playing my comfort food of Fallout 76, and actually had a weird experience last night.
Go on.
Most of the time you're just wandering around doing your own thing, but I came across another player last night. And he was like, "Hey, man, you got a mic? You got a mic?" I was like, "No." And I kind of ignored him for a second, and he's like, "Hey, man, I have a few items. You want them?" So I put my mic on, and I was like, "Okay, what do you got?" So this guy had so much stuff that he had nowhere to store it, and he didn't want to just like throw it away in the game. And he was like, "You can take this stuff." So in the game, you learn these plans so you can like build stuff at your base or whatever. And the plan is just like a piece, it's like a folder, and it weighs 0.25 pounds, okay? My carry limit in the game is about like 300 pounds, okay?
Okay.
This guy gives me over 400 pounds of plans.
Holy moly.
Okay. I literally had probably, I don't know, what's 400 times 4? I had like 1,200 of these plans on me. He just gave them to me. And I learned all the ones, and then I gave them all back to him. And I was just like, why do you have so many of these plans? And apparently there was something that happened at Christmas time where you got these holiday gifts and people like kind of gamed the system or whatever. And they had all these holiday gifts that you get these plans from, and he just was carrying them around. And I was like, thanks, Santa Claus.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And I got over 10,000 caps, like with it, which is like the money in the game. So I was like, I'm rich.
It's like the opposite of griefing someone.
That's what I was. That's my takeaway. And then like some other players came up, and he was just giving them the plans too. And I was like, this is all very quaint. We're not griefing each other. We're giving, guys. We're giving.
Wholesome.
A very different experience, very interesting experience. And then I thought somebody knocked on my back door three times at 2 in the morning when I was playing. That made my adrenaline go.
But wait, what happened there?
I don't know. Like, I turned the lights off and like stood in the dark looking out my back deck just to see if somebody was walking around. But, I mean, it sounded like somebody knocked three times. And I'm thinking now it may have been my son, who was like directly above me, kicking his bed. Maybe.
Oh.
But it really did sound like somebody knocked on my back door. It scared me.
That's creepy.
I didn't go get my pistol, but I was just like, I'm ready for anything.
Well, usually, I don't know, knocking seems weird for a criminal.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Also, it'd be weird if the raccoons or possums that occasionally come on the back porch or the back deck, that would be weird too if they did that.
Yeah, so, well, you're still alive, so it all worked out.
It's all gravy, big baby.
Yeah, the only real trailer we had was for Desperados 3.
This was like a gameplay trailer.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty long one.
It was like 6 minutes, and I sort of remember Desperados games being a thing. It's like a top-down sort of stealth game.
Yeah,
some of it looked fun.
Isometric. Yeah, I mean, I love stealth. I've actually had never heard of this series.
I only think I've heard of it. It's just it rang a little bell somewhere in my mind. I've certainly never played it.
Do you remember the Western game made by LucasArts?
What was it called?
I'm looking it up now. Outlaws. 1997.
I do not remember this.
Hey, Mr. Lawman. Maybe we should do a classic trailers review of Outlaws. But I played a demo of this back on the PC back in 97. Right before it came out. And it was a lot of fun. Because it was like you'd never played a Western before. And it was like first person. And first person shooter, but Western. And it was... I was 14 at the time. So this game sticks out in my mind. You know, at that impressionable age, even playing a demo, you can remember that till the day you die.
Oh, for sure.
Outlaws. Y'all write me if anybody ever played that game or even just the demo.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar. I have no memory of this place.
Pretty fun game. I'd love to maybe go back and play it now and see what it's like. Probably has not aged well.
Probably not, no.
Hey, Mr. Lawman. We did get a 19 minute of the... Well, no, we got the first 19 minutes of gameplay for Iron Man VR.
This looks so cool.
It looks awesome.
I'm going to have to bug the people I know with VR to let me play this.
So, like, a big part of the game is angling your hands with the thrusters to fly in certain directions. And it teaches you how to do it, like, how to, like, hover and then, like, point your hands backwards so you'll fly forward. I mean, it looks so cool.
Yeah, this, like, everything that you would imagine being in the Iron Man suit and having the heads-up display and all that stuff, they have worked into the game, and I can only imagine that using the knuckle controllers on, like, the Valve Index VR would be incredible.
I really want to experience this. I need to find somebody who is going to have this or get this so I can try it.
Well, you can come up here and we can go over to my cousin's house. I'm sure he'll get it right away.
Go to Cops. Go to Valentine's. Yeah. Go to the races. Play the VR.
Leave our flesh bodies behind.
That's what we'll do, folks. Anyway, we've got the links here so you can check out these this VR footage. I wonder if you could, if you have a VR system, if you could watch this in VR, but it would probably be like a movie experience in VR.
Kevin, find out if you can watch a VR trailer for this Iron Man VR game, because I know you spend most of your time in VR now. Let me know.
What do they call that when you like become one with the machine?
The singularity.
No, it starts with a T. That movie that Johnny Depp was in.
Transcendence.
Is it Transcendence?
Yeah, it was directed by Wally Pfister, the cinematographer for Chris Nolan.
I did not know that.
I haven't even seen the movie. I only know this stuff. I don't know math or like geography, but I know that.
If you came to this podcast for math, you came to the wrong place, folks.
Yep, can't do it. I mean, I can do some math.
I don't know why you would go to a podcast called Trailer Blazers for math insight. That would be the dumbest move that you could make.
Yeah, you're the dumb one, not me, in that case.
Why don't you go start your own Dumb Dudes podcast?
Go start a math podcast, nerd.
Yeah. All right, folks, well, that's all we got for this week. You got anything else, Nick?
Nope. I'm probably going to play more God of War.
I think I'm actually going to start God of War.
I tell you, man, I'm playing on easy because I'm not good at video games. Some of the stuff, even on easy, there's these Valkyries, and the way that you get the best armor in the game is you have to beat these Valkyries. And I'm like, okay, I can fight it. The first Valkyrie. Obliterated me. One hit. And it's like, I was dodging around, and I was doing pretty good. I got the hit points down pretty far, just finishes me off when it's tired of me. So
I may be in for it here.
Yeah, I just kept thinking, it's like, how do people do this who aren't me playing on easy? Like, it's impossible. It can't be done.
It's the same.
But that game is gorgeous, man.
I can't wait to start. Maybe the people that play that on normal or hard are the people that can beat the hovercraft level on Battletoads.
Yeah, that's about like how it feels to me, because I'm not really very good, but like I don't understand how you can be. I can't remember the buttons.
Dark Souls, them Dark Souls people, that's what they like.
Right, exactly. I never could do Dark Souls, man. That ain't me.
Dark Souls.
For Trailer Blazers, I'm Nick, a light soul. Happy trailsers.
And I'm Ben, Vinny Bottaducci from the Mafia 1 remake. Happy trailsers.
Don Celieri.
Gretchen, stop trying to make Armageddon happen. It's not going to happen.